Welcome to Meet the Candidates, a public service of WTZQ Radio and Timeless Media Incorporated. This is a platform to hear from candidates who have filed for the Henderson County municipal elections to be held on November the 5th. Now, here is your Meet the Candidates host, former publisher of the Hendersonville Times News and director of Vision Henderson County, Ruth Burge.
Welcome to Meet the Candidates. I'm your host, Ruth Burge. In the WTZQ studio today, we have Steve Carricker, who is running for Hendersonville City Council. Welcome.
Thank you, Ruth.
Tell me all about you. What about Steve? Tell me where you came from, why you're here.
I'm here because I'm passionate about city government and making Hendersonville and Henderson County a better place to live. I'm a transplant. I came to Henderson County 35 years ago from, of all places, Los Angeles. Located in the county, built a home and stayed, and have been here ever since. Moved into the city back in 1996, and got involved with city government on a volunteer basis with the Historic Preservation Commission. And after a fairly contentious zoning ordinance issue came up in the city, it was my issue to speak to as the chairman of that body, and did. And it kind of forced me into city council duty. I got elected in 2007 and have been there ever since.
I like that it forced you to do that. How does the city maintain high-quality services in the face of the falling revenue opportunities that come out of the General Assembly?
At this point, where we ask our department heads annually to cut their budget, cut back requests, we try not to incur service costs too much on city taxpayers. We've managed to keep property taxes fairly low. We're one of the lowest municipalities of our size in the state still, but it's an ongoing challenge. We provide services to about 14,000 city residents, but we play to a much bigger population. We play to about 75,000 due to tourists and influx of seasonal residents and so on and so forth. So it's an ongoing challenge, and we're always looking for a way to maintain a really good service level that we think we do all the time.
What about significant changes? I mean, this is the best place most of us have ever lived, and we are an incredibly popular place, and the growth of our city and county has definitely begun. Talk to us about the challenges that that presents to the city council.
The most obvious challenge to not only city council, but any city or county resident is traffic movement. I have served on for the last 12 years on the TAC, Transportation Advisory Committee at the county level, and the MPO for the region for the city of Hendersonville. And the more successful Hendersonville and Henderson County is, it brings more people, more construction, more volume of traffic. Just in the last couple of years, traffic flow from Buncombe to Henderson to possibly Transylvania has just gotten miserable. And the way we handle it in the state is a very lengthy, drawn-out process of ranking and rating and pull funds from here and pull funds from there. Typically, the transportation projects take about 15 to 20 years to get designed, funded, and built. And it's a very contentious issue. Nobody wants to give up land that they paid for. But in my view, you're probably going to have to make some compromises to keep this place a nice place to live. I have mentioned earlier I was from Los Angeles. I saw the same thing happen to Los Angeles when I was a child. Nobody dealt with traffic flow and infrastructure, and it ruined the place. It's not fit to live, in my opinion, anymore.
Okay, and we certainly don't want that to happen here. So, how do we maintain our overall services responsibility as more and more of the property roll off of the tax or come off the tax rolls because of the nonprofit?
The basic law in tax law in North Carolina, nonprofits, school systems, churches, faith-based organizations, hospitals, do not pay property tax because they are nonprofit. We're challenged right now, and we brought up the issue last year. What we call a pilot program, payment in lieu of taxes. It's a voluntary thing that we're floating in. Frankly, right now it's not going real well because nobody wants to pay taxes. But for instance, big retirement developments require a lot of fire service calls for falls and medical stuff. Frankly, more our fire departments, most of our calls are not fire related. They're either traffic accident related or medical calls. So some of our fire departments are in some of these retirement homes twice a day, and they don't pay into this kitty to support that. So that's one of the ongoing challenges. The pilot program is something that's been floated to some of the CEOs and leaderships of the leadership people in these organizations to see if they're willing to make a voluntary contribution to help the city fund this stuff. We have ongoing. We're in discussion right now and locating property to build fire station number 3 in a new service area east of the city that is required to provide adequate fire service and assure that property owners' fire insurance premiums don't go up. So,
are there any incentives for those kinds of things? What would you do to actually bring this to fruition?
First of all, it's a conversation with the leadership, and it wouldn't be, we were not asking for a normal tax levy. The incentive, if there was one, would be to volunteer a percentage of what a normal tax levy would be. It wouldn't be a full tax levy. It might be 10%. It might be 5%. The General Assembly has continually, since it was taken over by the Republican Party a few years ago, have figured out that they were, with tax revenues to municipalities, they're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater and rebuild the whole tax structure. And it's hurt us severely over the years. And we need to find ways to overcome that.
Talking about equity, let's talk about equitable service from the county for those who live in the city that pay an equal tax levy, but they don't have any children in the school system.
When I get my tax bill, I choose to live in the city of Hendersonville, and that was my choice. I actually pay about $100 more to the county to exist within their boundaries. If I have children in school, I mean, cities and counties are designated responsibilities by state government, and there's a definitive list. You get it in your property tax bill every year as you get assessed. One of the things that we lost recently in the last few years was animal control in the city. So because of a dispute between our chief of police and the sheriff at the time, we basically had to raise taxes in the city to take care of animal control for us. That's one of the descriptive duties of the sheriff from state government. I just think there's a lot of folks like my wife and I that live in the city. We don't have any children in school. Right now, if I go to use city services, the only thing I'm guaranteed to need is possibly a library card, and I don't really have time to go to the library. I use the internet. So I would ask, we need to start have conversations with the county, regaining some animal control back, and at least work in conjunction with our people. We had to raise taxes a penny a hundred in the last tax cycle to cover the $400,000 expense to provide trucks and personnel and training for animal control officers that the county took away. So luckily, that relationship between RPD and the sheriff's office has improved greatly, and actually, I'm initiating conversations to get that back on track. The only other advantage I've got for paying city taxes, if I'm in the criminal justice system, I get access to all those facilities at the courthouse, and I prefer to be a law-abiding citizen, so that's not available to me.
Good choice. How far should local government go as far as encouraging redevelopment in the blighted areas of the city?
When I first decided to run for public office, I had been driving by across the bridge, like many of you do, across 7th Avenue and the old depot, and had wondered why local politicians had overlooked this area and just chose to not look that direction for the last 25 years. And it was a sad thing. That used to be the commercial center of Hendersonville. That was where everything happened, where all the small business resided. So I took it upon myself when I decided to run for public office that we needed to, Main Street came back of its own volition, and the merchants got together and supported themselves, and city council later on did some stuff with the streetscape to help that along. But it was time to do something for 7th Avenue, and the city is, we've been talking here recently about lack of tax revenue and lack of funding. Well, we can do a bit, and we're getting ready to do a streetscape project on the first couple of blocks of 7th from 64 East. And we've managed to put enough incentives in place, facade easements and really getting the folks down there, the advisory, the 7th Avenue Advisory Committee, to point out opportunities for small business. The place is starting to come back. We fought the Gray's Hosiery Mill. I fought the Gray's Hosiery Mill principally for when my rest of my elected colleagues thought I was nuts for 10 years. It's finally come to fruition. It's going to be a fantastic facility. It was a struggle, and there's more times than often that I wanted to call in bulldozers and sell used brick, but it has turned out to going to be a really good thing for the city. It will be a link between Main and 7th Avenue, and actually, we're with the Streetscape Project and 7th Avenue and all the private sector interest, 7th Avenue is getting to the point where it's going to be taken off, and it's going to be the place to be in Hendersonville, I think, for quite a few years to come. And most of that comes from private sector. We can encourage them. One of the big things we did is we decided to relocate the new police station down in that neighborhood and hopefully ask those residents what they'd like redevelopment to look like down there. And we've got a very good response. And I was a big proponent of if the city's going to expect these people to alter their lives and improve themselves, we need some buy-in, and that police station is that buy-in, I believe.
Tell listeners how they can get in touch with you or where they can learn more about your platform.
I have a Facebook presence for the campaign. I also have a personal Facebook presence. But since I've been elected office, I think it's important for you to be able to contact me. For a number of years now, my cell phone has been listed on the city council website. So if you have... And I'm not afraid to answer the phone. I'm not afraid to answer tough questions. If you would like to give me a ring, I talk about a problem or concern, if I can help you solve something within the city. I also live right in the middle of 3rd Avenue. I'm constantly sitting on the porch, sipping my iced tea or coffee. Come on up, talk to me, and tell me what you think. I welcome your visit.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ruth.
You've been listening to Meet the Candidates on WTZQ with host Ruth Burge. All candidates who have filed for the Henderson County municipal elections to be held on November the 5th have been contacted to participate. Equal time will be made available for all candidates.